We read together this evening from Psalm 90, the Psalm of Moses, about the eternal God and human frailty. And then also we read together from Psalm 32. So first Psalm 90, and then Psalm 32. And after that, let's sing from Psalm 90 as expressed in Psalter 245. Hear the word of God from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sheep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So far, Psalm 90, and then Psalm 32. Here we have Psalm of David, about the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So far, the word of the Lord. Following the sermon, let's sing together Psalter 83. Psalter 83. The congregation belonging to Christ, on this last evening of the year 2007, there's one line that I want to leave with you, ringing in your ears, as it were, and embedded in your minds and hearts. It's this wonderful line, this wonderful gospel truth. It's God finding time still. This night, on this New Year's Eve, we remember especially again the passing on of time, moving now from 2007 to 2008. We spend our times here on earth in days and weeks and months and years, but altogether, the summary of it is our life is as a vapor. It's as a breath. It's as a flower which appears one day and the next is gone. And truly, as Moses says in Psalm 90 verse 10, it is soon cut off and we fly away. How good that on this one night of the year, reflecting on the passing of time, we may come here to God's house under His Word and be reminded of the swift passage of our lives and to think about the issues of life and death and eternity. It continues to be a sly strategy of Satan that the one night that all the world more or less stops to remember time is passing on has become also the biggest party night of the year. How sad that people refuse to consider what is all important and will not think about the frailty of life and the swift passing of time and the fact of death and judgment before God and an endless conscious eternity beyond this life. That you and I may be here now is just the sheer grace of God for which we cannot be thankful enough. Yes, also as this evening we listen to this message based on Psalm 32 verse 6. And our theme is, it's God finding time still. David says in verse 6 that everyone who is godly shall pray to you, that is to the Lord, in a time when you may be found. That's it, beloved congregation. That's what I would preach this evening. That we still live in a time when God may be found. It's a God-finding time. Please listen to this message as I seek to preach this one main point under the four following thoughts. Unfolding this gospel truth, underlining this gospel truth, urging this gospel truth, and utilizing this gospel truth. Unfolding it, underlining it, urging it, and utilizing it. In unfolding this truth, let us ask ourselves for a moment, is God in hiding or something? That we say it's a God finding time still? Is the God who's the creator of all the universe and who made also you and me, is that God concealing Himself somewhere? Why, the Bible tells us the God who made us, He also sent a Savior. He sent His Son to come into this world to save sinners. We just celebrated God sending His Son into the world to come and to seek and to save sinners. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, is the one and only Savior of sinners. The God of our salvation. Emmanuel, God with us, the Bible says. And this God, David also looked to in Psalm 32. But has He gone to hide somewhere? That we now talk about and that David talks about God finding time still? What does this mean? That we are living in a time when He may be found? Oh, let us get this straight at the beginning of this message. The problem of not finding God is not that God has hid Himself from us. It's not as if He's always trying to dodge Himself from our view and to keep us from finding Him and to have us always be hunting after Him but to no avail. But rather, the problem is our sins and sinfulness left to ourselves. By nature, we have removed ourselves from God and turned against Him and become blind about Him. We place ourselves at enmity with Him. And of ourselves now, as fallen creatures, we are blind, yes, blind to God and who He is and not seeing His works and ways. Of ourselves, we live as if God is not. And we need Him not and we carry on fine without Him. We think and say and act so of ourselves. Paul writes Thus in Romans 3, there is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. But now, this very God who made us and who alone can save us from our sins, He's calling to rebellious, sinful mankind to find Him while He is near. And this Psalm 32, in its context, is saying God is near as the God of salvation for us. Though we have miserably fallen in sin, and though you and I of ourselves are guilty of so much wrongdoing before Him in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Yet this God proclaims Himself as one who, in His grace, can be found by us. Found to be gracious and merciful and a Savior God indeed for all who seek Him and follow Him. Psalm 32 is a psalm of David where he is repenting of grievous sin against God and others. It's in connection with his sin with Bathsheba and killing Uriah, you know. And David testifies in this psalm, coming to God in repentance and faith, he found God. He found God to be his faithful, blessed Savior God, most ready to forgive and to renew him in grace and truth. When David lived in sin, when he wouldn't confess his sin, he lost sight of God. He couldn't find Him. He pretended he was still following God, but he couldn't really see God. But when he turned from his sin and he called to God for His mercy and grace, he found God again. You see, regardless of the sins, coming to God, the gracious, covenant-keeping, unchanging Savior God, you find Him. And you come in repentance. And you find with Him forgiveness of sin and acceptance by grace. And you find a clear conscience again. And the promise of His saving help through all of life's journey. And the prospect of eternal life as well. God, yes, God has every right in and of ourselves forever to condemn us. And to bring us each into everlasting punishment for all our sins and sinfulness. But He is the God who in and through Christ is full of salvation for us. And this is the God David is writing about from the Old Testament perspective. He's full of salvation for us, body and soul, in life and death, and for time and eternity. For this cause, says David, everyone who is godly, that is, all who are sorry for their sins and sinfulness, and who repent before God, looking to Him for mercy and help, yes, praying to this God, they shall find we still live in a time when God may be found. The God of the universe, the God of salvation, with all His saving grace and power and love and goodness. It's God finding time still. Meaning, time yet to find the God of salvation, the God of deliverance in all our needs in life's journey. It's God finding time still. Maybe there's one or more among us this evening for whom this word is like a lifesaver, a word of rescue and hope. As you reflect on the past year, you are aware it has not been such a good year for you, perhaps, especially spiritually speaking. You have not been living rightly, though outwardly maybe no one could see it or has been aware of it, but you know it. In your heart, there is so much ungodliness and worldliness and self-centeredness and discontent and guilt in wrongdoing. And you know, maybe someone here, that things are not right with you and God at this time. Perhaps there are others among us here who have fallen into a lukewarm condition, spiritually speaking. Or maybe there are some here that are just backsliding in some ways, more ways than you want to admit even. Are there not also among us those who never yet have been reconciled to God in true faith and repentance? You're still unconverted, unsaved. Maybe there are others among us facing great challenges and struggles in life. And if you're honest, you will say you are anxious and afraid of what the future holds. Perhaps you look back on the year past with a lot of regrets and a lot of sadness, and you look with dread on the coming year concerning matters in your life. I say to you, whatever your situation and need, even more, whatever your sins and guilt, listen, it's God-finding time still. Go to Him. Call to Him. Cry to Him. Confess before Him. Tell Him everything. Reach out to Him. Pray to Him. Draw near in faith. And you will find He will draw near to you. It is the God-finding time still. The overall point of our text in the context of Psalm 32 is that God is to be found by all who seek Him as the God of salvation from sin and the God of deliverance and help in all our needs in His grace and mercy and love for Jesus' sake alone. Oh yes, and here I want to move on to our second main point. From unfolding this text, this gospel truth, to underlining this gospel truth that it's presently God-finding time still. Let me underline this fact that it's God-finding time still. Yes, for people who aren't sure and who are doubting often and always, also among us, whether God really wants you to find Him. You may be a person who lives thinking and persuading yourself even that the reason you are not saved, or the reason why you have no assurance ever, is because God doesn't actually want you to find Him. God is not really serious about you finding Him. The problem is not that I don't seek Him, you say, but He won't show Himself for me. He won't let me find Him. Ah, but such thinking is not right, nor true. It goes against what our text says. Our text says it's God finding time still. And when it says for the godly, it doesn't mean either, well, that's true only then for some worthy people. No, no. It's not true just for those who may seem to have this inherent quality of godliness. No, for the godly here means, in verse 6, it means simply the sinful, the guilty and needy who cry to God in repentance and in hope for help from Him. In the name of the Lord, I declare to you, each and everyone here tonight, no one excluded, it's God finding time still. For underlining this gospel truth, let me just mention some other gospel texts and then state some further gospel facts. Listen to this word from David to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 and 10. There David says, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever." Do you hear those words of this divine promise? If you seek Him, He will be found of you. Even yes, if you've forsaken Him most of your life, if you turn around and seek Him, He will be found of you. Then consider the well-known words of Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. There the prophet declares, "In God's name, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked," it says next, "forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And what did Jesus Himself say? "He who is the way, the truth, and the life. Seek, and you shall continue in the fog. Seek all you want, but you'll never find Me. Just like all the people now can't find Osama bin Laden." No, Jesus says, "Seek, and you shall find." Jesus can't lie, can He? He would not tell the absolute truth. You know that, right? I tell you, all Scripture makes it clear. It is the God-finding time still. Indeed, if you look at all Scripture, it's so amazing the way God is pictured and proclaimed, in fact, as a God who goes out of His way to have Himself be found by people like you and me. God places Himself, says Proverbs 8, in the highways and the byways, the main intersections of life, and all kinds of places and situations, drawing near to us and saying, "Look, here I am. Seek me, and you will find me." In the beginning of history, you know, the day Adam and Eve fell into sin and rebelled against God, their Maker. What happened? Adam and Eve, we are told, tried to hide themselves from God, feeling their guilt and shame of sin. But God, we are told, pursues after them and finds them and calls them as they are hiding themselves in the trees, as if we can hide from God ever. The whole Bible history is about God sovereignly looking for and finding sinners, calling them to Himself. We just remembered with Christmas, didn't we? How in the fullness of time, God sent His Son from heaven to this world for to seek and to save sinners. And since Jesus accomplished His work, His saving work with His life, death, and resurrection as triumphant Savior of sinners, He also, together with the Father in heaven, poured out the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts through the Word, convicting of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they might find God in spirit and in truth. And you know that beautiful parable of the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and 99 were in the fold, and one wasn't there. And the shepherd went out, and he looked everywhere, till he found that lost sheep, and how happy he was when he found him. That's the picture of our God. And the Lord also commissions His church, and all His people collectively and individually, to sow the gospel seed in the world, calling sinners everywhere, far and near, to come to Him while it's yet the time of grace. And when we are born in Christian covenant homes, the Lord, with the sacrament of baptism, He comes to us personally. And He pledges to us with divine sign and seal that even as we call on Him, He will be found of us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Lord swears by it in His triune name. He did so with you, most of us here, even when as little baby, we had no clue whatsoever of our desperate need of Him as our Savior God. So, congregation, there's just no question about this gospel truth that our text brings out. It's God finding time still. David, from the Old Testament perspective, is saying this. How much more is it true in the New Testament even? In Isaiah 65, God declares even, "I was found by those who did not seek me." Imagine that. I was found by those who did not seek me. Because you see, actually, the Lord is seeking all the time. And the meaning here is, among other things, God makes Himself so available, so known to us. He shows Himself to us in His works of creation and providence, and most of all, in His saving work of mercy and deliverance through the promised Redeemer and His Spirit and Word. The Lord says further in Isaiah 65, "I said, here I am, here I am." It's like He's in front of people. "Here I am, find me. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. I stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people." The point is, it's God finding time still. God says so, and He wants us to know it. Yes, also this evening, this last night of 2007, it's God finding time still, tonight yet too. Are you a person who has found the Lord so that you know Him as your Savior and your God too? Many people among us, praise God, have found God in Christ, isn't it true? And we keep rejoicing in finding Him time and again as we call upon Him through His Word and by His Spirit. In Philippians 3, verse 9, we hear of the Apostle Paul as a Christian wanting nothing more than to be found in and with Christ, and to find in the Savior all His salvation and all His comfort and all His hope for the future and for life. And isn't this the confession of all God's true people also here? Then you know and you testify, nothing is as important to you, also as another year draws to a close, as being found in Christ and having found Him, as David also did in Psalm 32, as the God of salvation for us, wonderfully and superbly so even. But is there someone here this service tonight living still not having found God as your Savior, God, in and through Jesus Christ? Let me press home to you in Jesus' name. It's God finding time still. And here we come to our third main point. From unfolding this gospel truth and underlining it to urging it upon us each and all. When the text in Psalm 32 speaks of there being this time when God may be found, the implication is there will come a time when God may not and cannot be found anymore by anyone. This is the case in each of our lives personally. There comes a time when God, as Savior God, can no longer be found by us. That is, when the day of grace and extended mercy is over. And that day comes ultimately with our last breath, each one, which we never know when that will be. So there's urgency. You see that with me? You're with me, right, in this? There's urgency to seek the Lord while He may be found and to call upon Him while He is near, because this God-finding time could be over suddenly. And before you know it. We all heard about last week the tragic and evil assassination of that political leader, Bhutto, in Pakistan. You maybe too have saw her on the screen waving, coming down a podium after a speech in front of thousands of people. And a few seconds later, she's dead. Dead by gunshots and a suicide attack. And she's just one of so many deaths. Even since then, in the same country of Pakistan, I read the other day, 38 people killed with the riots. I read this today, 128 people killed in Kenya with the chaos there. I read about a little girl, 7-year-old girl, the same day this Bhutto died, in Texas, singing Christmas carols. 7-year-old girl singing Christmas carols in her town in Texas somewhere on Christmas Eve. On Christmas Day, her parents gave her a new bicycle. All the family watched as they watch her ride on the street, her new bicycle. And the family eventually goes inside. But the girl keeps riding her new toy, of course. And the next thing happens. She gets into an accident with a truck. And she's pronounced dead on the scene. How tragic. And it's just one. There's countless stories like that. Our baptismal form states, this life is nothing but a continual death. And that is in line with Psalm 90 as we read it. And it's the reality. So it is urgent, congregation, isn't it? This God-finding time, still. You want to find Him when you still can. If you haven't found Him yet, don't wait till next year. But find Him this night. Call out to Him for His mercy and grace. Also for you, this evening still. Get right with God before it is forever too late to do so. It's God finding time still, meaning it won't be so always, and stressing the urgency of this time. Our text also brings out another point related to the urgency of this matter. Notice how the text phrase in the verse speaks of the next part of being in a flood of great waters. And this refers to the troubles and the struggles and problems in life that can threaten to overwhelm us and completely undo us and bring us into our total wit's end and into a completely hopeless situation. Well, you know, in this sinful, godless world, being sinful of ourselves too by nature, and being frail creatures of the dust, we can so easily fall or come into such like situations that we are, as it were, in a flood of great waters. Yes, living still on this sin-cursed earth. The reality is, and you know this, you and I never know what a day may bring forth. What dangers we may come into, what temptations we may face, what lies ahead for you and for me. So take advantage of this God-finding time while you have it. That's the point here. For the text is saying, really, for God-finding people, that is those who trust Him and who call upon Him, whatever calamities or problems and struggles there might be and that comes, doesn't escape us, they won't come near you in the sense of destroying you or completely undoing you. No, God-finding people find themselves safe in the arms of Jesus, no matter what the trial or the situation that they should come into. Let the godly seek thee in times when thou art near. No whelming floods shall reach them or cause their hearts to fear. God-finding people find the God of salvation in and through Christ Jesus to be the God of all comfort, who comforts us, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, in all our tribulations, with whom there is comfort, rich and everlasting comfort to be found in any trouble that we might come across in this life, and in the face of death and judgment and eternity. Psalm 32 is a psalm which speaks of blessed God-finding in repentance and faith. And it tells how nothing can compare to the worth of such finding God for us, with us, in His grace and mercy. This psalm of repentance before God, Psalm 32, this psalm of trust in Him is such a, it's a penitential psalm, but it's such a jubilant, triumphant psalm as well. Altogether, both negatively and positively, it urges, therefore, not to ignore this God-finding time. That is God-finding time still, and this is a matter of urgency. It's also because the Bible gives us quite a number of warnings of people who do not take seriously this God-finding time. There will be too many. In the last day, the Bible warns, also from among covenant people of God, who will be forever regretting, with screams and terrors unendingly horrible, that they did not pay attention to this God-finding time. Jesus, in the parable of the 10 virgins, mentions the 5 foolish virgins. How after the door of the wedding chamber was closed, they came and knocked on the door to come in, but it was forever too late for them. And they were left in the outer darkness where, says Jesus elsewhere, there is endless weeping and gnashing of teeth. Suddenly the day of grace will be forever over. And you don't want to be then still among those who have not and who would not find God in the God-finding time given to you and to me. Jesus forewarns in Matthew 24, verse 44, with all the love of His heart, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We may ask here, what makes people not find God in this God-finding time? Oh, is it not failure to take seriously our guilt and bondage in sin, and the righteous eternal punishment due to us, surely left to ourselves? Is it not also the fatal delusion that you can think about these God-finding matters later in life? Later. Now life is for you to do as you please. And you have other things busy and going and doing. At least for a little while yet. Procrastination. Is it not also the folly of finding so much treasure and pleasure in this world and its ways? And we forget Jesus' words, what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? These are all the lies of Satan and the folly of sin, making people not be God finders while in the God finding days. It may also be on account of bad peer pressure too. that you're not finding God. It's not a cool thing to do. You have peer pressure urging you to follow the pathway away from God rather than to listen to God's word and to take it to heart. Even tonight, perhaps. Who knows what kind of a party is planned, but you want to attend it. And you don't want it spoiled by God-finding. As if God-finding would spoil the best party you ever had. It wouldn't. God-finding won't spoil a party. I don't care how good of a party you got planned. God-finding will crash your party with something you wouldn't believe how great it is and the joy it gives. I tell you, why not be wise? And in this God-finding time, still, seek Him and find Him. You'll never regret it, finding the Lord. And you will find so much in and with Him. All else will diminish in comparison, in endless measure even. It's God-finding time still. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Or let me say it like Psalm 32 does. Don't be it like a horse or like a donkey. Dumb, foolish, stupid, having no understanding. Be wise, says the psalmist. Be wise. Seeking God in God-finding time. Don't be undermining and undervaluing this God-finding time that we may yet have. But rather, coming to my last and fourth point, be utilizing this God-finding time. God's true people, every Christian here too, will know and confess that God-finding time is not something to be taken for granted. It's a matter of sheer amazing grace that God gives any of us God-finding time at all. And that He sends out His servants and that He has His Word and His Spirit work to urge people to realize it's God-finding time still. And it won't be forever. Now is the time to get right with God and to receive His forgiveness in Christ and His imputed righteousness and the gift of eternal life. Well, will you utilize, will you make use of, earnest use of this God-finding time granted to you and to me? What about it? Little child in church, not too many children, small children, it's a late hour. But how about it, older children, you who are starting to become teenagers, maybe? Will you hear God saying it's God-finding time? What about it, teenage boy and girl? What about it, dear older youth? What about it, young adults here in church? What about it, parents and older ones? This God-finding time still, are you using it profitably for yourself and others? Utilizing it means, like David, going to God in true repentance and faith for a first time not only, but again and again. After another year, how much we have sinned against God in doing things wrong too often and all too often also failing to do things right as we were supposed to do. But utilizing this God-finding time like David, listen, you can be washed whiter than snow, really. And you can have all your sin and guilt removed, truly, as far as the east is from the west, this very night. Utilizing this God-finding time, you can end this year with a clean heart. And you can begin the new year with a fresh start. You can end 2007 with peace, the peace of God, and begin 2008 with the promise of God ever with you and for you and by you, blessing you for body and soul, for now and forever. Utilizing this God-finding time means also seeking to make the most of this time yet given, that others too might come to know and serve this God as Savior, as made known to us in the Bible and in the Lord Jesus Christ, before it is forever too late. God is still calling and saving sinners, gathering them through His Spirit-blessed ministry in the proclamation and spreading of His precious Word. Is it not the desire of every true believer, with another year upon us, that it be a year lived by us for for the furtherance and the increase of God's church and kingdom. Let's pray and work using this God-finding time still, that many more may find Him while it's yet the day of grace. David found out for himself in his day, it was God-finding time still for him. And he wrote this psalm for others in praise to God and in promotion of finding God while it's still God-finding time. As we are so much closer to the end of the world and the last judgment, let us be diligent in this God-finding time still to the praise of God and for the good of our neighbors. It's God-finding time still. As pastor, I couldn't stand the thought that any person from among us now will one day end up in the place of eternal hell, because here on earth, also in the setting of this Christian church, you didn't make use of the God-finding time that God graciously gave you. Oh, that all then here may and will be persuaded to seek and find the Lord while He yet offers pardon and peace. And that as the years go by, we live and die as God finders and promoting this as the greatest pursuit and pleasure and treasure of all. In urging you to be a God finder and to live that others may and will find God too, as revealed in Jesus Christ. Congregation, that truly is a call most blessed and fruitful. It's a call to live most blessed and fruitful, useful way of life here and now, and leading to the way of eternal life in glory. It's the only way, you could say, to end each year peacefully and joyfully, regardless of the circumstances, and to look forward to a blessed new year as another is about to begin. It's God finding time still. But for how long? We can't say. No one knows. All we can say is suddenly it will be over. This God finding time. Forever and ever over. Do you see the reason for our points then? Unfolding this gospel truth. Underlining it. Urging it. And utilizing it. Oh, earth, earth, earth. Hear the word of the Lord. It's God finding time still. This God finding time still is so very precious too. For just think of ending also this year finding God. The God of Psalm 90. The God of Psalm 32. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finding in Him all our hope and help and peace. And then singing that rapturous Christian gospel song like Psalter 83. I know you sang it Sunday. We're going to sing it again. It's matchless and more wonderful and thrilling than ever can be. And you find it finding God. You find this rich gospel for whoever you are, as many as call upon Him. Isn't that an encouraging word? It's God finding time still. Amen.